But it is what it is. It's the work you put into it is what you're going to get out of it, just like it is with anything else in life.
Disruns Radio, episode 521, starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, today's episode of the show is brought to you by the people behind who I think are the best shoe review site on the internet, and that's runningshoesguru.com, the team over there, of which I am proud to be a part of, but maybe that's why I think they're the best. But honestly, though, what we do at runningshoesguru.com, and you know, from Ruggiero, the team leader, the owner, the man, the myth, the legend, to all of us that are working with him and supporting him, is really strive to give the best, most comprehensive, most honest and straightforward shoe reviews out there. You know, unlike some of the competitors, some of the other review sites that are out there, we don't aggregate and pull reviews from other sites and just post them on runningshoesguru.com. The reviews that are there are tried and tested and put to the test by the folks that do the reviews. So basically, Ruggiero buys the shoes, ships them to the reviewers. We run on them, put them through the paces, and then write out an honest and descriptive and again non-biased review. Nothing, no pressure coming from the shoe companies, no pressure coming from any advertisers or anything like that. It's just a straightforward, no biased, honest and expert review. So if you're in the market for some new shoes, or you know, with the new models that'll be coming out in the coming early part of this year, some of the new models are already making their way to the reviewers. I've got some shoes on the way as well, some new ultras. So as the new models come out, if you want to hear what they're like and get some feedback of the new models before you go out and buy them, runningshoesguru.com is the place. Thanks to Ruggiero, thanks to the team for continuing to support the show. But now, without any further ado, let's get on with today's episode of the show. Hey guys, my guest and I today have been playing hard to get for quite a while now, but finally our schedules have lined up and here we are. So looking forward to it today. My guest is definitely a little bit more of a triathlete than just a strict runner. And he has a few half Ironman finishes already under his belt and is definitely looking forward to adding the title of full Ironman as a full Ironman finisher to his list in the not too distant future. But additionally, and maybe what almost drew me to inviting him on the show even more so, is the fact that he's a fellow certified athletic trainer, which means that most likely at some point along the line today, we'll start talking about and maybe even nerding out a little bit on all things related to injuries, running and otherwise. So anyway, it's time to officially get this party started, and it's a pleasure to be able to finally welcome Mr. Keith Shireman to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Keith. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. Sorry it's taking so long. You know, the athletic trainer life, it's hard to kind of keep everything going and try to stop and make time for certain things. So,
oh, ain't that the truth? Been there and not so much doing that as much anymore, but always a possibility and always a pleasure to talk with a fellow ATC. And guys, if you want to connect with Keith and kind of follow along with some of the things that he's got going on, social media is probably the best place. Instagram at MXATC and on the Twitter at Keith MXATC, all obviously jumbled together, all one big word on the Twitter. And if you want to want the links, the show notes as per usual, we'll have everything that we talk about today linked up and make it real easy to find Keith and connect with him on your platform of choice. Dizruns.com/521 for this episode will be where the show notes are housed. So Keith, the way we always start off the show is with a pretty simple and straightforward question that sometimes has a simple and straightforward answer, but more often than not, it's a little bit more, the answer is a lot more layered than the question. And with you being triathlete as well, that adds a whole nother layer of possibilities to this question, which is always always fun for me when I have the multi-sport athletes on the show. But it's just to ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
I would have to say right now, since I haven't finished a full Ironman yet, I'd have to say the half iron distance is the 70.3. I've completed four of those. I have completed a 100-mile long course triathlon back about a year and a half ago in Kansas, But I really enjoyed the half. It's not as time consuming. I really enjoy the training that goes into the half and all the work that you have to put into that. There's a lot more work I'm learning now, you know, with a full Ironman, what goes into that. So I would like to go ahead and say that I love a full, but I haven't completed it yet. So I can't really comment on that yet. But the half distance was what I really like now.
Gotcha. Have you, with the way you're wording that, it makes me suspicious that you've attempted the full at least once. Is that accurate?
No, well, I was on schedule to do Ironman Texas last year, and actually this year, excuse me, but last year at the end of football season, I ended up herniating two discs in my back, so that kind of shut me down from running for about 2 to 3 months. All I could do was basically just swim and work on my core and get on the bike a little bit at a time, you know, until I could build back. So, I mean, I went back this summer and did the Ironman 70.3 in Muncie, Indiana, kind of as a rehab type deal to get back into Ironman so I could be fully prepared for Ironman Texas coming up next year.
So it's on the calendar. We're going to give it a shot in the next year.
Yes, next year I've signed up earlier this year for Ironman Texas for 2018, and we're right now 2 months into training, doing my baseline work, and just trying to keep up with my swim, bike, and the run, just increasing work. Right now, I'm primarily working on my run durability at the time.
Gotcha. How'd you get into the endurance sport world? Is that something that has long been part of your life, or where did, you know, whether maybe even first phase, where did you start in the endurance world? Was it starting right into triathlons, or was it an individual discipline first?
Well, I'm here with myself. I'm 51 years old as an athletic trainer. I've been doing this a while, but I still enjoy going out and being active, doing things. A lot of endurance type activities, I guess, could go back several years to. I used to ride pro motocross before I did all this stuff. And then I turned to powerlifting after I stopped racing. Then I decided to start running. I think it was about 2009. I started doing 5Ks, and then kind of went from 10Ks to half marathons. I've completed 5 marathons and over a dozen half marathons. And I've always loved triathlon. Even when I was a kid growing up and going into high school, I always saw Ironman, you know, always on the ABC Wide World of Sports. You know, they always put all that stuff on there. So it was pretty neat to watch that and to see those folks do that. And I always thought it was cool because I would ride, you know, my bicycle from my parents' house, you know, 5 miles to the swimming pool, local pool, that is. And then ride it back, and then, you know, another 5 miles, and then do some running. I ran track in high school, and I just kind of turned to it, you know, a couple of years. Like I said, I started running in 2009, doing more distance and such. And really, 2013 was the first year I started doing triathlon with some sprints. I did about 4 or 5 sprints that year and just really caught on and really wanted to do Ironman because I had been watching it and just kind of watching the videos and things. But I knew it was going to take a lot of work, and there was no sense in trying to rush into it and try to create an injury, you know, at that time. So just building from doing the sprint distances my first year. I did one Olympic distance my first year of triathlon, and that should have been a no-no because I think I way undertrained for that, not really thinking much about it. Mm-hmm. So, and it was more of a lot of hills. It was in Missouri where I did that race at. But I really enjoyed that. I knew I wanted to do Ironman at some point, but I knew it was going to take a little time, and I had to do a lot of research on it and a lot of work. A lot of training goes into it, so that's kind of what I've been able to try to learn myself and do. You know, as an athletic trainer, we know a lot of the things pertaining to training about the human body and such, but there's a lot more into it that we need to learn for triathlon.
Yeah, that's certainly true, and you know, obviously balancing the different demands of different disciplines. There's all, you know, instead of just worrying just about the running, you know, the improving the running form or improving the injury resistance to running, you got to look upper body, lower body, core, the whole nine yards with all the different sports. When you got back into, you got into running, like you said, about 2009, once you started dabbling there in the shorter distance triathlons, was it pretty much, yep, this is what I always kind of thought it would be, and kind of really turned from you know, just running at that point, or did you kind of dabble, or was it pretty quick to be, yep, I like this multi event thing, and this is where I want to really focus my energy at this point?
Well, I think the first race that I did an indoor triathlon, not too far from me. I just kind of see what it would be like, and to kind of get an idea. And I thought, okay, this is indoor. Let's go outdoor and see what it's going to be like, and just kind of build from there. You know, once you start training for a triathlon, you may not be happy with your initial result, but it is what it is. It's the work you put into it is what you're going to get out of it, just like it is with anything else in life. Mm-hmm. You know, any other type of, if you're just a bike racer, if you're doing motocross, if you're just running, if you're a football player, you know, you're going to get out of it what you put into it.
Yeah, that's certainly true. And you know, one thing that you've mentioned a couple times, and I don't want to just gloss by it, because I think it's something that we all struggle with, is the time component. You know, like we both know, you know, the athletic training life, it can be some really long days, a lot of hurry up and wait. But it's not just like wait and not do anything. Like it's observing, it's watching, it's being there. You know, and some really long hours, especially during certain sports seasons. Football, of course, comes to mind. But all sports. I mean, depending on what you're working at, it's some long days. And then the balancing that with you know, just life outside of work and outside of training, and then the training. How do you find? Is there any good tricks to finding time, or is it just one of those types of things to balance the training or get the training in? You just have to schedule it, prioritize it, and kind of make it happen.
Yeah, you basically hit the nail on the head. You kind of have to prioritize what you need to work on, and work on it. You have to make time for it. You can't just halfway train for a half Ironman or an Ironman itself, because you'll wind up getting injured yourself, and it could be serious injury as it is, as we've seen that, you know, over years. But I'm not here to say that triathlon is, you know, to give it a bad name. I think with any sport you participate in, like I said, you're going to get out of it what you put into it. If you don't put enough training in and don't, you know, dot your I's, cross your T's, look at every component of it, because there's so many different components you have to look at with triathlon, that you can get everything set just right and then build from that point, you know, and try to head up that hill to make those changes, you know, that you need to get better. I've always had to find time at, you know, in the morning. I'm better at getting up in the morning and training. I love when I would do marathon training or half marathon training. I love getting up in the morning first thing. If it's 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, that's fine. That doesn't bother me. That's part of it. It is hard to do a lot of training, and I have to cut my training back during football season. I mean, we're here where I'm at in Arkansas. We're 6 days a week, basically. Practices, games, JV, junior high, football, everything. We're 6 days a week, and you just have to cut back there. It's really hard to, I can't really schedule any kind of triathlon race during football, because I'm not close enough to where I could go to, say, a half Ironman. And it makes it hard to go the day before. And I really don't like going to a race the day before, because I want to make sure I'm 2 days there before the event so that I can be well rested and ready to go, you know, for the event. Just like it would be for if it was a half marathon or a marathon. Those are a little different. Triathlon has got, you really have to be well rested in order to, you know, to put it all on the line before you get out there.
Well, and not only that, but from my limited, I've never done a triathlon, but from what I can tell from talking to folks or just kind of piecing things together, I mean, not only does it obviously help to be well rested, but there's also a lot more logistical stuff to set up before the race for a half marathon, marathon, whatever. Like, you know, as long as you can pick up your packet or pick up your race number, that's all the... Really, I mean, that's really all the pre-race stuff that you need to do. Everything else can be done, you know, in the car, in the hotel, whatever. No big deal. Put your shoes on, put your shorts on, and you're ready to go. But you know, with the multis, like you get your different areas set up, the transition stuff, the bike, and everything lined up and ready to go. So there's definitely a lot more to it just at the beginning from a logistical standpoint. So yeah, having that extra day is huge.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, even with doing marathons, you still, or half marathons, you still have to, you know, you've got your nutrition laid out. You have to, you know, you got to make sure you know what your running zones are, if you're that far advanced into it, where you want to, at what mileage do you want to peak at? And, you know, with triathlon, you know, we've got so many components as far as what am I going to eat on race day? How much water do I need to consume? You know, you got to figure your sweat rate. You have to figure out, you know, your running, your bike zones, you know, how many watts are you going to have to, I mean, there's, mm-hmm. you're going to have for that on the bike. There's just so many components to have to juggle around. I mean, myself, I still work with, you know, FTP, functional threshold capacity and wattage right now, trying to get those, you know, situated where I need to be at. So I don't peak too soon, you know, before the race. I want to do the right thing, but I don't want to end up getting hurt in the process.
Yeah, I mean, for myself, for the runners that I work with, I feel like it's enough to try to balance that when all we're worried about is running a good race, like literally the running part. I couldn't imagine trying to juggle the swim and the bike on top of that, and then also still try to run strong at the end after you've already, you know, run and swim for run and swam. I never get those the past tense of swim correct, but you know, after you've already done 50 whatever it is, 57 miles of those combined distances before you jump on the run. It's impressive to me to see you guys, you triathletes do your thing. It's something that I know I could do if I put in the, like you said, put in the work you get out of it, but whew, it's a lot to think about.
Ironman for me, it's not a bucket list thing. I really enjoy, you know, taking very good care of myself, trying to eat right, trying to do the right things. Longevity-wise, there's a lot of people who have just got burned out. I've seen over years doing triathlon because they just didn't really take care of themselves, didn't really do the right thing.
Yeah, that's certainly something that's important. And with that in mind, the idea of you know, taking care of yourself and whatnot, I hearken back to what you said just a few minutes ago about you know, kind of knowing that during the football season, during that you know, 3 month block of the year or so, you're not going to be able to compete as much. The training is going to have to be dialed back just from a strictly hours in the day standpoint. Do you think that maybe is almost a benefit in that it forces you to have a quote off season, as opposed to, you know, I'm down in Central Florida and I, you know, some of the triathletes that I know and run with on occasion, I mean, they're pretty much it's year round. There really isn't any off season because, you know, whatever their profession, their job is, that it allows them to continue training at the same pretty much level all year, other than the obvious ups and downs, the ramping up and tapering down. But do you think that makes a difference for you as far as trying to stay healthy, of having that forced off season every year almost?
I think it does. I mean, for here, we start August 1st, and then typically for the last, usually we don't finish football until, well, the last 7 or 8 years, we've made it to the semifinals every year. Mm-hmm. In those 3 times, we've made it to the finals 3 years in a row. So we're playing football till December sometimes. So when I do keep a base on swim, bike, and run, I may try to find some 5Ks here on that are local on Saturday mornings that I can go do. But I don't really, you know, run off and try to do all the big, you know, try to do big races or try to stack a bunch of stuff on my schedule that I'm going to try to do and just end up getting burned out. That for me, that's key for me, not getting burned out on mm-hmm. trying to do a whole bunch of races, you know, in 1 year, and just try to work on the things that I need to work on.
Yeah, that's certainly important. Which I'm always curious about this whenever I talk to a triathlete. Which event is your the hardest one for you at a triathlon event?
You mean of the three disciplines? Which
yes, sir.
One's harder?
Yeah, which one's the hardest for you?
Probably the swim, but I've gotten better at it since then. I'm one of those people who it'd be tough if I didn't get to wear my wetsuit, you know, at a race. You know, I mean, I can do okay, but you know, I learned, and you know, early on that, you know, you kind of get a panic attack as it is. And of course with Ironman, you've got everybody crawling all over you, you know, mm-hmm. you get punched, scratched, you know, you name it, you know, it all happens in the water there. But I tried to, for my half Ironman this year, I tried to be calm. And this is this race this year was probably the calmest I think I've ever been before race and during the race, during the swim from that standpoint. The bike for me is probably my second best. I'm getting better with that though. The run is typically my best, but, you know, as my coach always says, there's no such thing as a good bike followed by a bad run. Mm-hmm. You know, if you do the things right on the bike, you'll have a great run. So, you know, that's those like we've discussed before, there's lots of things to juggle around how to get all three disciplines on the same page and to see improvements at each one.
Yeah, certainly. When you talk about doing things right on the bike, is that mostly come down to like pacing yourself appropriately, not going too hard, things of that nature?
Basically, in your training, like right now, I do intervals. I have long rides on Saturdays. Since it's cooler here, I don't get outside as much and I'm on the trainer. So you basically have to look at your cadence and your watts that you're putting out, you know, what bike zones you have to stay in for a specific amount of times. If you go too hard, you know, on the bike, you run risk of not having the legs to put the effort in for your run that you really need to do. Like, for example, my run for a half Ironman is, of course, it's with the half marathon distance. You know, I have to have, I'm in a specific zone for the first 3 miles. And then from mile three up to mile 10, I've ramped it up just a little bit. That's when I start racing, is at mile 10. So, and at that point, you've got solid. That way, if you have the legs from the bike, then you can put that solid effort into your run.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's again, as I've said, and we've talked about it as we've gone through it, it's a lot of things to juggle when you're doing more than just one sport. So I'm more than happy to stick with just running and continuing to work on trying to just keep getting better there and keep improving and keep chasing some of those goals that I have on the running side of things. When it comes to you know, kind of shifting gears just a little bit, Keith, talking about you know, kind of the injury prevention side of things and being an athletic trainer. Do you find that your knowledge and your experience of working with other athletes helps you or hurts you? Because sometimes I feel like it really helps me, and sometimes I feel like it's one of those situations where it's like, yeah, I know what I should be doing, but the athlete in me takes over and I do this stupid stuff that I've coached athletes to not do or worked with my athletes back in the day when I was active as an athletic trainer to not do. Do you get out of your own way, or are you succumb to the pressures of being an athlete or the desires of being an athlete sometimes as well?
And that's one thing that we try to do with all our athletes, say, hey, you know, let's put the effort in that we need to now, but let's not go overboard to create more injuries and such. So I try to do the right thing. I try to continue to better myself and just, you know, read up on new research, new studies that are out, and try to keep track of those. That way, maybe I can take that information, not just apply it to myself, but apply it to my athletes as well and get them to understand so they can, you know, have the same knowledge that I have about that specific, you know, whether it be an injury or to keep them from being injured.
Yeah. It's always a work in progress. And, you know, like you said, you got to stay up on the research because things continue to change and you kind of continue to have to, as for all of us, whether this is your profession or not, you got to continue to evolve with as the knowledge changes and the best practices change, you got to continue to change and adapt as well. So, one thing that, okay. Sorry, I lost my train of thought there for just a second. But when it comes to kind of the injury prevention, this is another question that I've asked a lot of triathletes that have been on the show before. But again, with our shared athletic training background, maybe it'll be at least I'm curious to see your perspective on it as opposed to some of the others who are just been triathletes but don't have all the experience and the education of the physiology and kinesiology and things like that in their background. Do you feel like the training for each of the disciplines, what does that do is in terms of helping to stay injury, you know, to prevent injury? So again, kind of to maybe put it in a little better context, as runners, a lot of us, we just want to run all the freaking time because that's what our sport is. You know, the more we run, the better we're going to be is the common thought. Versus for somebody like you or any multi-distance or multi-sport athlete, like, yeah, running is going to help you, but you also got to get some time in the pool. You also got to get some time on the bike so that you're improving in each of the disciplines. Do you feel like that is something that maybe us runners should adopt a little bit as well? You know, even if we're not going to compete at the triathlon, just to do some of those other disciplines from a injury prevention and cross training type of standpoint.
Yes, I really do. I think that it helps you better yourself from that. I mean, I can tell that from a cardiovascular standpoint, you know, my run's better because I do bike, I do swim, and I do all those things. I can tell if I was just running only, then I think that the bike will help you. It's low impact. You do create a greater lung capacity from doing the swim instead of just the run. There's a lot of runners that, like you said, they just want to run all the time. But you've got to look at the aspect from a max VO2 percentage. You know, are you increasing that at all? Is there anything that you can do besides that? Can you add cross training? Can you add weight training in? You know, there's so, again, it's for just runners only. You've got more things that you can do to better yourself. It's not just getting out and running. I had one gentleman tell me one time we were talking about Boston qualifiers. I said, that would be pretty cool to be able to qualify for Boston. I said, that'd have to be a bucket list item, you know, for somebody to go do. Of course, and I saw, you know, for my age group, you had to have about 3.5 or 3 hours and 25 minutes. I was like, oh my gosh, that's kind of tough to do. And he says, well, if you want to do it, you just run faster. Well, I'm thinking, okay, sure, you can run faster, but you've got to do the work, not just with the run, but with other aspects, to stay injury free, to stretch, to get a good workout program, to work your core, as well.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many components to it, and it's something that, you know, in the perfect world, we'd all have all the time in the world to do all the other things. But, you know, from experience and from some knowledge you know, I feel like I'm echoing you as well. You can't just run. So even if that's what you want to do, that's what the sport, you know, that's your goals are to just run, you know, knock off an extra, you know, if you're averaging 30 miles a week, cut it down to 27 and use that extra, you know, 30 minutes or so or whatever it would relate to do some of the other stuff, or knock it down to 25 and give yourself an extra 45 minutes to an hour, a couple of those times, 20 minutes a day, three times a week to do some extra stuff to just help you stay healthy and avoid the injury bug. Cause that's ultimately what's going to lead to more improvement anyway. If you can be consistent in training and not have to take 6 or 8 or 10 weeks off to deal with some injury, that's going to help you move forward better than ramp it up real quick and then having an injury setback and that back and forth that a lot of runners know all too well.
That's exactly right. I mean, the one thing I don't think either one of us have covered that I'll throw in here is, of course, with multi-sport athletes, it's especially when you do the half iron or Ironman distances, it becomes a big mental game. I don't know how it is, you know, it, maybe you can testify to this with runners. If you're doing long distance, you know, there's half marathon, marathon, and there's ultra runners now, you know, that are doing 50-mile or 100-mile races, you know, on foot. I mean, it depending on, you know, the effort that you put in, it gets to be a big mental game.
Yeah, there's no question at all that the mental piece certainly comes into play. You know, short race, long race, shoot, whatever. There's always a little bit of, at least for me, there's always a struggle there at some point in the races. For you, how do you try to overcome some of those mental struggles, those dark places on the course of a, you know, 70.3 mile day out on the course?
Well, you know, it's going to be different for everybody. For myself, you know, like during the swim, I'll think about a song and just try to focus on that and just try to maybe sing that thing. Just think about it over and over, and I know that may sound funny, but you have something that kind of preoccupies your time. You know, a lot of times, you know, coaches will tell you to count your strokes, count this and do this. I'm like, if I focus just on that, how am I going to get better, you know, at that distance, you know, with that just trying to focus on, you know, not, and it gets to be a mental portion as well. When you get to the bike, the bike is going to be, it is what it is. You know, by the time you get 56 miles in, you're thinking, man, get me off this bike. I'm ready to start running, you know, cause I imagine it'll be the same way when I get to the point of hopefully get there and do 112 miles. I'm going to say, all right, get me off this bike so I can start running, you know, and then when you start running at that point, you have to, you just focus on, you know, what's in front of you. You focus on your nutrition. You focus on, as we talked about earlier, you know, your running zones that you're going to be, that you have to stay in. Don't start running too fast, because if you do that, then you're going to not have the legs to finish your race, you know, type of thing. So you really need to go through each discipline with a smile on your face, because you've done all the training, you trust everything that you've done at that point, and just be happy that you've made it that far without being injured, and just go enjoy your race.
Yeah, that's a great reminder for anybody, you know, whether it's a triathlete, runner, whatever. You know, I'm going to make a bold assumption that I don't think is really that bold, that everybody listening to this, nobody is at the elite level where they legitimately get paid for their results. They don't get nobody. I don't have too many elites. If I do, let me know. If you listen to this and you're at that level where you get paid for how you place at the end of a race, let me know. But I think most of us, I mean, you know, we might want to be competitive. We might want to compete with ourselves. Certainly there's a lot of folks and maybe, you know, vie for some spots on a podium of a small local race or on your age group or whatever. But at the end of the day, triathlete, runner, cyclist, whatever, we're all doing this for fun. So making sure you've got that smile on your face, and that even if it's not the greatest day on the race course, like, this is what you did all the work for, was to run this race today and compete in this race today. So yeah, trying to smile is going to be something that's going to help. And there's also the studies that show that smiling, you know, kind of decreases the pain receptors. So if you're hurting or you're struggling, yeah, at the end of a race, force that smile on your face, even if it's a fake one, and your brain will actually, you know, perceive less pain, so it'll be a little bit more comfortable for those last few miles of your event.
That's exactly right. I mean, you just have to go have enjoy yourself, have a good time. My goals for my last half Ironman race, my goal was sub 6 hours. You know, my best was not that great. It was probably a 6:25. But with all three disciplines that I did, I PR'd all three disciplines by 10 minutes. So I was happy. I was ecstatic about that. I missed PRing by just a few minutes because, you know, I kind of bonked late in the run. I couldn't get my race going those last 3 miles. But, you know, at that point, you know, it is what it is. You just have to keep a smile on your face, like we said, and just keep going. And, you know, I've been to lots of races where I've seen people have to pull out. They're having to call, you know, EMS. They're having to have, you know, medical attention on the course. And it's kind of scary, but at the same time, you're just like, man, thank God I didn't have to go through that. I'm glad that I'm healthy and I can finish this race. I'm going to be happy with what I've accomplished this far.
Yeah. That's a great attitude to have. And it's something that it's taken me maybe a little bit to get to that point to turn down, like, still be competitive, but just turn down the fact that, like, a bad race isn't do or die. Like, my life doesn't change whether I PR or whether I don't, yeah, you know, on race day. Like, everything the next day is still exactly the same. The dogs still need to go for a walk. The wife still needs a kiss. The baby still needs some attention. Like, you know, nobody in my life really cares that much if it's a PR or not. So yeah, you know, just keep going, keep grinding out, and keep doing the best you can. And you know, if it's not your day, it's not your day. Shifting gears just a little bit back to the injury front, Keith, I've talked several times just about various tips and tricks and things that people can do to try to avoid injuries. That's a big thing that I'm a big proponent of. That's certainly my athletic training days coming back of let's prevent something instead of treat it after the fact if we can help it. And I have a feeling that people might be a little bit tuned out for me continuing to preach the same things about injury prevention and some tips and tricks and tactics and things that I've talked about a dozen times. So I'd be curious to just, you know, maybe spend the last 5 or 8 or 10 minutes or however long, you know, this section kind of goes, and this will be kind of where we'll start to wrap things up. But what are some of your tips, tricks, advice that very well maybe the same types of things that I've talked about before, but at least coming from a different voice, maybe they'll trickle into some people's minds a little bit and be some tools that they can use in 2018 to try to help maybe kick the injury bug if that's something they've been dealing with before. So, you know, we'll set the ground rules of acknowledging that everybody's different, every case is different, and what works for one may not work for another, but just kind of in general, from your perspective as a professional in the sports medicine field, what are some things that we as runners can, probably should, be more conscious of doing to try to eliminate some of those common running injuries that so many people deal with on a recurring basis?
Well, I think the first thing we need to think about is, you know, always, you know, what are my weak areas? What do I need to work on? Where are my weaknesses at? Is it my hamstring? Is it my glutes? Is it my hip flexors? That's the one thing that I've always looked at is, you know, from when I get through with one race, why is it that I couldn't fire my run up? Why couldn't I get it rolling? Because my hip flexors were extremely tight. Did I not work on that, stretch that enough? Stretching, you know, hitting your weak areas is the best thing there, along with stretching. I run into so many people who really don't spend a lot of time stretching. I try to spend 30 minutes when I get up in the morning, 30 minutes before I go to bed, stretching, just basic stretching. And just, it helps me sleep better. I feel better. And I don't have all these aches and pains in your joints that everyone always talks about. You know, of course your legs, you know, your quad muscles, your hamstring muscles, which are your largest muscles, you know, in your body, those are going to be the most tired because those are the ones getting used the most, you know, along with your lungs. But that's, lungs are going to be a different story there. I think getting in the weight room, getting the strengthening those specific areas is one of the keys too. What are my weak areas? Are my weaknesses? Write these things down. There's nothing wrong with writing down. You know, you don't have to make a journal up. Just make some notes. Say, okay, after my last race, what did I feel like? That I need to work on for my next race. When I found out I herniated a couple of discs in my back, I thought, okay, I'm an athletic trainer. I know what to do, but I'm still going to go back. I'm going to research some things. I'm going to see what do I need to work on specifically for myself. And I started working core. I'll do core now. I only swim 2 days a week right now until at the end of, end of January, I'll start 3 days a week. Mm. Then I'll start doing core 3 days a week. I do it 2 days a week right now. The same days I swim, I do my core. 2 days a week, which is, a Tuesday and Thursday, if I'm on the bike, if that's a brick workout, I'm working legs. I'm working on balance. Mm. Balance is very important. I don't think a lot of folks address balance, and I'm not just talking holding a weight, standing on one foot, you know, those type of things. I'm on a small balance beam. It's just basically just two tuba fours, 14 foot long, put together, and I'm doing squats with balance. I have maybe a very small kettlebell, working on doing lunges, trying to stay balanced there, you know, those type of things. Like I said, quads, hamstrings, working on your VMO, which is so important, you know, to keep your kneecap tracking properly. Mm-hmm. Doing single leg work for your quads and your hamstrings. Those are important too. Couple of days a week during the week, I'll do upper body too, but I don't do a lot of heavy weights because as a triathlete, you don't have to be bulked up and huge. You don't have to do bench press, as a runner, you don't have to do a lot of, heavy weight work. It gets mm-hmm. to be more interval type work. And it's constant. It's what your body able to adapt to better prepare itself for the next race. And that's where you learn from making notes, doing smaller races to kind of build up to your A race per se along the way. You make notes about those things. And I think that's ultimately all of that as a package is what's going to help you be a better runner, a better triathlete, better, with your life overall. You'll be happy with it instead of just being a disgruntled person every time you get through with your race and say, well, that race was terrible. I hated that. And look for the good in it, not always look for the bad.
Yeah, no, that's a very well put. And I would love to go back and maybe dig just a touch deeper on the balance bit because, I get it, and it's something that I probably have overlooked and not recommended enough. But I'm sure that there's some people that are like the balance. What do I need to work on walking across a couple of 2x4 balance beam type of thing? Like, what is that beneficial for runners, triathletes, endurance athletes in general?
I think it helps enhance what's called your proprioception, just holding a kettlebell, balancing. Straight over with one leg, balancing on one leg, you're working on your hamstrings, you're working on your glutes, but you're still working on balance. There's many a times, I'm sure a lot of us, maybe as a triathlete, late in a race, you feel like, oh, I'm starting to fall over, I'm going to go to one side or the other, or even on a marathon, a half marathon, you lose that sense of your running gait. And I think balance, doing a little bit of balance work aids in that. It helps out so you can keep in, as well as working your core along with that, I think it will help you, keep a good balance, keep your spine erect and stand tall late in your run, because that's where we always see a lot of our weaknesses at on our run. And we can see so many people. And I've always been fascinated. Even when I was doing half marathons or marathons, I'd watch people who passed me, or if I passed somebody, watch their running gait and see what their problem is. And I've passed people who looks like their hip is about to go out. They're about to fall. They're leaning over, you know, because their core is not strong. Those type of things. I think there's so many things to look at once you do this work and just figure out what you need yourself as an individual to make yourself better. You know, like I said, like we talked about, working on your strengths and your weaknesses. You know, what are your weak points? What is it late in the race that you need to work on that's keeping you from having a better finish? So, balance, I think, is important. Core strength is important. But it's all a package deal. It's not just doing one thing and that's it.
Yeah, of course. And I think that's a great point about the end of the race, because, you know, that's the one area that I've noticed for myself and certainly just in working with folks and just in general, that we don't get to practice quite as much, especially for the longer races. Like, you know, there's not a lot of people, there's a few, but there's not a lot of people that advocate or that do, you know, a 26 plus mile run in preparing for a marathon. You know, you cap that off at 20 miles or 18 miles or 22 miles, depending on your base and your fitness and your philosophy and all those things. But then that still leaves some uncharted territory that your body's not used to functioning still mile 22 to 26 or mile 20 to 26. And so, yeah, by focusing on some of the form issues or the balance issues, the stability issues, the proprioception, like you said, not only is it going to help your performance, but it's also going to help to reduce your risk of injury late in the race as well, which is where, you know, we know when people are fatigued, that's when injuries happen. Like the form starts to go. That's a lot more likely to cause injuries when you're fatigued. So having that base of balance, stability, proprioception in place at the later stages of the race it doesn't seem like it does much, but it'll pay off for you for sure.
Craig Alexander, he's a professional triathlete. I think he's retired from the long Ironman distances now, but he always talked about, and I was always impressed with watching him late in the run. You know, if I'm watching the Ironman World Championships back several years ago, you know, when him and Chris McCormack would go at it back and forth, you know, their gait, and you're thinking, man, those guys got to be tired. You know, I've run a marathon, but I haven't done a full Ironman yet, but those are always key, because when you get tired late in your run, everybody gets tired. Even those guys get tired, and the ladies who are out there running their races too, they get tired. So, you know, I think if you do this work and work on, you know, it's going to help your gait. You know, you don't have to do speed drills and a lot of this stuff, you know, for the longer distances. You don't have to do those type of things. I think it's important to keep that key balance, core, strengthening your weak areas, getting in the weight room and addressing the things that need to be taken care of so that you can have a better race. So you can have that smile on your face at the finish. Mm-hmm. So you can be happy, you know, do all those things right, so you can be happy at the end of your race.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that maybe this is a good place to really start to wrap things up. So the way I like to end the conversations these days, Keith, is with something I call a philosophical question, which isn't some people think it's a little bit scary to give it such a dramatic label, but it's really just kind of very similar to the initial question, but something that's open-ended. You can take it and run with it for another 8 or 10 or 12 or minutes, whatever long it takes. You can give it one or two words. I've had both, and certainly have had a lot of answers to the philosophical questions that fall somewhere in the middle there. But I would just be curious, you know, kind of shifting gears, taking a broader perspective of triathlon and endurance events for you at this point. How has being a triathlete, an endurance athlete, how do you feel that that's changed you in the last, you know, since it's been 2009, so the last 8+ years at this point? How has pushing yourself, the endurance athlete mindset, triathlons, and maybe more specifically, how has that changed the person you are now than the person you were 8 years ago before you got into this crazy world of endurance athletics?
Well, once I started doing triathlon, I did notice a difference in myself, in my I guess work ethic, I guess that's the best way to put it. If I'm going to be more concerned about myself and my health, I have to do that same application with my athletes. I've really enjoyed, doing research on different topics to better myself, something maybe that I could try to apply to help, all the athletes that I work with at the high school level. Being able to take better care of myself, that's always a plus. Healthcare today, I mean, I can't tell you when the last time I went to the doctor, I knock on wood, I'm going to find something to knock on here. I haven't had the flu in I don't know how many years. I've stayed away from all that. I mean, I'm not trying to be trying to be like a neat freak or anything like that to keep away from anybody. It's a lifestyle. I think it's the better you take care of yourself, and that also goes with what you ingest, what you put in your body, your diet, not going through drive-through every time you turn around. Of course, as an athletic trainer, our lifestyle, the way we have, we don't have much time to stop and sit down and eat a really good meal. It's mm-hmm. it's always on the run. So you either do meal prep or sandwiches, one of the two, mm-hmm. to kind of keep yourself along. Even when I started doing multi-sport events, I started looking at what I was eating, and at the same time, I'm not sleeping well, I'm not feeling well because of what I have ingested, it's real important what you eat. And I try to tell our athletes too, especially before a football game, or if it's a track meet or a cross country meet, hey, what you eat has a direct effect on how you're going to be able to play on that specific night. I think it's always a good idea to take a look at those things as well, not just what we've talked about already with the training and the mental side of it, from the rehab part of it. I think you need to really take a look at what you are eating. Everybody has their cheat meals. Everybody has their things that they like to eat. There are certain things, maybe the things that you're eating the day before a race or the day of your race that morning, maybe that's having an effect on your performance and you're not able to do well because of that. Mm-hmm. So there's another level of something to take a look at. And at my age, I don't want to do that. I want to be around for my family as long as I can. I mean, if I can live, your Lord allows me to live to be 100 years old, great. If not, I've accomplished the things that I'm happy with. So.
I love it. And that's why I love these philosophical questions, because it's always just a nice bow to just kind of a good way to wrap things up. So that's exactly what we're going to do right here. I'm not going to keep blabbering, because I'm just going to muddy the water. I don't want to do that to anybody. So, guys, again, if you want to connect with Keith and follow along and watch him as he gears up for the big Ironman attempt here in a little bit later in 2018, later this summer, @MXATC on the Instagram and @KeithMXATC on the Twitter. And again, disruns.com/521. We'll have everything linked up there. Keith's contact information, some articles, this, that, and the other things that we talked about will all be linked up there as well. That's that. So Keith, thank you, for the time today. Thanks for humoring us and for finally having our schedules align. I know it's tough, and I know you're busy, and I appreciate you carving out a little time today to chat with us and hopefully help some folks, avoid some injuries. That's certainly what I think all of us ATCs are always looking for, is how can we keep athletes, keep our friends, keep our athletes healthy and competing, and that's what we're trying to do. So hopefully some of those tips will rub off on a few people today and keep them healthy going strong in 2018 and beyond. So again, thank you for your time today, sir. Much appreciated, and have a great new year and a great showing, and enjoy that. Keith Shireman, you are an Ironman when you cross that finish line in Texas. I know you're looking forward to it, and I can't wait to see how things go for you.
I'm looking forward to hear Mike Rowley call my name as I cross the finish line, that's for sure.
All right, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope that you enjoyed the conversation between Keith and myself, and I apologize that I know it was a little bit glitchy. I did my best to clean it up, but the audio just wasn't cooperating when we set up the call. Skype was being Skype, and sometimes it's a little bit rough, but I tried to make it as good of a job in post-production as possible, and thanks for bearing with it and pushing your way through. So we are at that point of every episode where I'm curious to know what stood out to you. What was your takeaway from the conversation today? For me, You know, obviously it was in my wheelhouse talking about injury prevention and things like that, with a fellow athletic trainer. I mean, I could have kept talking to Keith for days. It might have gotten pretty dry. but I can talk injuries and injury prevention and tactics and theories and treatments and preventions and all those kinds of things all day. And so it's no surprise that my takeaway, but the big thing that stood out to me was from that part of the conversation. That was, the importance of remember to train balance and proprioception. You know, I know for myself, I know for my clients that it's hard enough sometimes to get the regular strength training as part of the routine, to get the regular yoga and foam rolling and all of those little things that we need to do that we take for granted. And then we always kick ourselves when we end up with some little injury or niggle. And we're like, ah, God, you know, if I would have been doing the strength training, if I'd have been doing the foam rolling, the yoga, the stretching, whatever, maybe this wouldn't have happened. And the balance, the proprioception things, those are maybe the best thing that we can do in trying to prevent some of the less overuse injuries and more of the sprained ankles, the things like that. But also, I mean, they're just good to help with good running form, with stability, especially for those that are running trails. If you're a trail runner, you know, improving your balance, improving your proprioception, which is kind of your body's awareness in space. Those things are very important, and it's not difficult to do. I mean, you know, like literally when you're brushing your teeth, stand on one foot. I mean, you're working your balance, you're brushing your teeth. When you get halfway through, switch to the other foot. You're working your balance right there. And then just, you know, some coordination things, some lateral movements, things like that are going to help with proprioception. Doing some soft ground training. So maybe running barefoot through a field. If you live somewhere where you can get on the beach, running in the sand, that's a great, not only a great workout, but also good for proprioception, good for your balance, good for your stability and your ankles and your knees and in your feet because of the unevenness of the sand. I mean, all of those types of things are just so vital. And yet, and I'm guilty of this too, it's they're so easy to overlook, and they're so easy to not think about, not feel like you need to do them until something happens, until you got some injury. And now you're on the shelf and you're going, what could I have done differently? Like, oh yeah, I rolled my ankle. Well, I haven't been doing any balance work. I haven't been doing any stability training, anything like that, any proprioceptive, preventative care. And maybe you still would have rolled your ankle, but maybe instead of it being a more moderate to severe case, maybe it would have been a minor thing. You know, maybe instead of a grade two, it would have been a grade one and you'd only been out for a week, but now you're out for 2 to 4 weeks or something like that for it to heal. So, you know, again, I could talk injuries and injury prevention all day, but definitely my takeaway from today's conversation was just the importance of remembering to train your balance, to work your balance, work your proprioception, and again, just mix it into your regular daily routine, and it's not that big of a deal, not that big of a commitment. It just takes a little bit of thought up front, and then it becomes part of what you do, and it can definitely save you in the long run if you're consistent with it. So that was my takeaway. What about you? What was your takeaway from today? Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRun. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. And as always, you can head over to the show notes for this episode or any episode and leave comments there. And the show notes for today's episode are DizRuns.com/521. So without any further ado, let's thank Ruggiero. Thanks, Running Shoes Guru, one more time for supporting the show. And again, head over there, check out the reviews, check out, there's all kinds of things coming. There's talk of maybe a podcast coming in the future. Maybe I might be a little bit behind that as well. But other reviews, gear reviews, GPS wearable reviews, all kinds of reviews, always at runningshoesguru.com. But our bread and butter, running shoes. So if you've got questions on new shoes, new models, good chance that they'll be highlighted there soon. So thanks to Ruggiero. Thanks for the team, runningshoesguru.com. And thank you for listening to today's episode of the show. If you enjoyed it, please spread the word. Tell a friend. It means a lot. And until next time, please be well, take good care, and we'll talk soon. See you guys. Bye.